you guys. You can have a seat. How are we doing? Doing good so far? How's 2022 been for you? So far, so good? Huh? Yes? Okay. Well, I know that it started out for some not so great. I know that for our family, we've been having some, our extended family, my in-laws, and we've had friends who've started out the year not doing great, but we know that we serve a big God. We serve a God who heals. We serve a God who restores. We serve a God who is present. We serve a God who is always there. And, Pastor said it again today, when we take care of God's house, God takes care of our house. I am just excited for what 2022 is going to bring. I know last week we celebrated exceeding our Christmas offering goal. Now we can give it up for that, right? Because God really did show up. That's right. We exceeded it. And you know, we serve a God who goes above and beyond, right? He is the God of the exceedingly abundantly. That is a God we serve. We serve a God who doesn't just give us scraps. He gives us the very best. God gives us the best that he has to offer. You know, I don't worry and I don't stress when we're short on certain things, when things may not be going exactly the way I want it to be. I don't, because I've learned, I'm 52, and I've learned in my 52 years, right, that God is faithful, that God will show up. You know, he may not show up when I want it to. He may not show up exactly when I need him to. He'll show up exactly when he knows it's right for me. Exactly when, and he'll do the same thing for you. You know, we're talking about the best is yet to come. We've been talking about that. Marcus came last week and he spoke about the best is yet to come. And how many of us enjoyed that message, right? It was a message, a timely message. Yes, a timely message, a message that really encouraged us as a couple, encouraged our church. And I believe those who were watching online were encouraged too. You know, when we look at the world around us, we are tempted to believe that 2022 is really going to be the same as 2020 and 2021. And I know what's going on in the world. I know it's crazy. I know we're disheartened. Many of us are afraid. I mean, you even go to the supermarket and the things that you could buy at one point, you can't find anymore. That brings fear. That brings uncertainty. I'm here to tell you that God will take care of our needs. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I know that my God is faithful, and my God shall provide all of my needs, all of your needs, according to his riches in glory, according to his riches, according to his purposes. Today I wanted to talk to you about the best is yet to come. You know, we're going to keep saying that, and we're going to be saying my main point, which will be coming up really shortly, but I want you to get that. I want you to get that into your spirit, church. I want you to believe it. I want you to believe it. I want you to believe that truly the best is yet to come. It has been a crazy year, and some of us are thinking, man, 2022 is probably going to be the same as the year before that and the year before that. Some of you are feeling stuck, maybe a little stuck. Maybe I'm stuck in my health this way, my finances, my marriage, my health, my spiritual life. You know, I'm feeling stuck. I'm feeling like I'm not going to be able to get out of this hole that I'm in. I'm beginning to feel stress, and I'm beginning to feel fear. And I'm here to tell you that. Well, I'm here to tell you that your present situation is not your final destination. your present situation is not. It's not. No matter what the enemy says, no matter what the news says, no matter what the world around us is saying, your present situation, my present situation, is not my final destination. Mm-mm. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. No eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You love him, church? What he's got planned for you, you can't even imagine it. We've been conditioned to believe that we're never going to amount to anything. We've been conditioned to believe that this is the way it is and this is just the way it's going to be. But when we as believers, as followers of Jesus, love God, and I'm not talking about just saying, oh, I love God. I'm talking about deeply loving God. Your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard and your mind cannot even begin to imagine what God has prepared for you and for me. You may be feeling stuck in a relationship. You may be feeling stuck in your finances. You may be feeling stuck in your parenting situation. And you may be saying, you know what? I've made some really poor decisions. I've made some poor choices. Or you may be here and you may be saying, you know what? The choices that were made, I didn't make them. It was a choice that was made for me, whatever that may look like. But how many can say that we've even made bad decisions in clothing? Right? 80s people, those of us from the 80s, can honestly say that we had some really bad hair. Right? The higher, the better. Yep, that was one of my outfits. Oh, this is my, yep. I don't know if you know who this is. But yes, yes. Come on, I know, listen, I know that a lot of you dress the way my husband dressed back in the 80s and 90s. But I grew up dressing like this, okay? I grew up with the big hair. I grew up with the glove. I grew up with the nylon and the parachute jackets. That was my era. Now, I have my own mixtape, honey. Okay, I know you had your mixtape, but I want to share with you my mixtape.
Oh,
like that, hon? No? Okay. So we had, I don't know if you guys are on any social media platforms, but there was an 80s challenge, and I did it with Joey and Josiah, and I said, there was about 8 songs from the 80s, and I said, okay, if you know this song, you know, you step to the right. If you know the song, step to the left. They knew every song. That means I raised them right. That's right. I have raised them right. Well, all kidding aside, some of our choices have had detrimental consequences on our lives, right? The hair we can fix, the wardrobe we can fix, all of those things we can fix. And there are some things in our lives that we have just, God, we have made some bad choices. The message today isn't a message to shame anybody. It isn't a message to upset anybody. Every message that we speak here, that we preach here, is always to point you to Jesus. That's it. It's to point you to Jesus, to a salvation relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. But today, we got to get real. We have to get down to the nitty-gritty. We have to get to the area in our lives where we're saying, yeah, you know what? I did make some really negative choices. I have made some bad choices in my life. Some of the choices I didn't choose. Some of the choices were made for me. But it is what it is. I'm here, Lord. I'm stuck, and I don't know what to do. Jeremiah 29:11, many of us know this verse. Many of us write that scripture on cards. We write the scriptures, that particular scripture, on graduation cards and baby dedication cards. But this is what the message says from Jeremiah 29:10-11. It says, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Now, if this doesn't get you excited, I really don't know what will. God is telling you that he's going to take care of you. God is saying that he's got plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, not to abandon you. How many of us can say we have felt abandoned? We have felt alone. We have felt unheard of. God says, I will not abandon you. I have plans for you. I have plans to give you a hope and a future. I can't tell you why bad things happen. I can't tell you why we're in certain situations. You alone know that. I can't tell you why things have happened in my life that I don't really have answers for. I can tell you this, that when I was at my lowest and at my darkest, God showed up. When I had made a mess of my life, God showed up. When I didn't know how I was going to get out of certain situations, God showed up. God is a loving God. God is a forgiving Father. I always say this, and if you've been here long enough, you know that I've said this before. God is a parent, just like we're parents. Many of us are parents. And when our children mess up, we don't throw them away. We don't hate them. We don't tell them to get away from us. What do? We love them. We forgive them. And we restore them to sonship. That's exactly what God does for you and for me. When we have messed up so badly, when we don't think we'll ever, ever, ever get back to a place of communion and connection with God, God says, I've got you. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. I want to tell you today that your present situation is not your final destination. I'll probably say that another 3 or 4 times throughout the message because I want you to get that into your spirit. I want that to become like your DNA, part of your DNA. I want that to become part of your narrative, what you say to yourself. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Your present situation is not your final destination. Your marriage, in your marriage, God is going to restore it. I believe it. God is going to restore your marriage. God is going to give you the eyes to see your spouse the way he sees your spouse. God is going to restore to you love and trust. How about your health? In your health, God is going to restore it. When the doctors tell you that you have no hope, believe that God will be your healer. He will be your physician. How about finances? Our finances, God will restore the right job, the right position, a raise, an unexpected check. We don't know how God does it, but he does it. God always shows up. He promised to turn it around. God has promised to turn your situation around. Verse 14 says, I don't know if I can go back one. Verse 14 says, I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. I want you to stand up, church. I want you to stand up. And I want you to do something for me because I'm going to do it with you, okay? We're going to say, we're going to turn around. And as we're turning around, we're going to say, God is going to turn it around for me. Can we do that? Let's do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God is going to turn it around for me. One more time the other way. God is going to turn it around for me. Now point to your neighbor and say, God is going to turn it around for you. Yes. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Yes. God is going to turn it around for you. He is. You know why? Because he's your father. He is your God. He is a loving father. He cares for you. He said it. You know, God is not, you can have a seat. God doesn't lie. If God promised it and he said it in his word, he's going to do it. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to be afraid about, you don't have to be afraid that he isn't going to come through. God will come through. God will come through. He said it. I will turn things around for you. I will turn it around. So whatever you're facing right now, whatever you're going through right now, church, I'm here to tell you that God said he will turn it around. And if he said it, he's going to do it. If he promised it, it's going to come through. I don't want you to be afraid. We've been walking around so afraid lately, so scared. And we're showing the world that we're just like everybody else. If we follow Christ, and those of us who may not be following Jesus right now, I want to tell you that the best decision you can ever make is to follow Jesus. That is really the best decision you can ever make. I don't know how I would have made it the last 2 years without Jesus. I was already stressing out about certain things. I was already stressing out, and that was me as a Christ follower for years. I cannot imagine people who are not having that relationship with Jesus yet, how they've made it through the last couple of years. What's kept me grounded is knowing that God is for me and my family, that God is for my church family, that God is going to see us through. During a pandemic, we were able to hire 2 pastors. During a pandemic, we were able to raise $60,000. Do you know, Ed, we've been trying to do this for years and we've never reached the goal. God said, don't worry, I got you. I'm going to turn things around for you. I'm going to turn things around for you. And I believe it with all of my heart. And I hope that you believe it too. I hope and pray that you believe that God is going to turn things around for you. You may feel stuck, but that is not your final destination. You may feel like, man, I'm never, ever going to be free. That is not your final destination. You may feel defeated and you may feel hopeless, but that is not your final destination. God said that he has plans for you, that he is going to turn things around at the appointed time. Don't be discouraged. If God said it, he will do it. He will turn it around. He told us that he told the Israel. Now, I want to give you a little backstory. The Israelites were in exile during this time. King Nebuchadnezzar had sent them into exile. So, like the queen mother, everybody, all of the Israelites, many of them were sent to Babylon. And this is what the Lord was telling them. I've got you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm here. I'm present. I can hear your cries. I can hear your prayers. I've got you. I don't know what you're praying for today, and I don't know what your home life looks like, and I don't know what your finances look like, and I don't know what your health looks like, what your mental and emotional state looks like, but I'm here to tell you that God is for you, that God is your peace. He is your strength. He is your source. You know, our joy, the joy that comes from God, isn't because of our situation, the situation we live in. Sometimes things are crazy. Right now things have been crazy with my in-laws, you know, with them not feeling great and friends and all. But we had peace. And I don't really know how that happens. I don't really understand how we can have peace when there's so much stuff going on in our worlds and in our lives. The peace that only comes from God, that's all I can say. It's a supernatural thing. It's supernatural. Now, you're probably asking, okay, great. I want God to turn things around for me. I know he has a plan and a hope, and he's got all that. But I'm still feeling stuck. I'm feeling like, how am I going to get out of this? I want you to do a couple of things. I want you to do three things. Number one, I want you to turn back to God. We turn back to God. For those of us who are Christ followers, for those of us who are believers, for those of us who are Christians, if you will, many times we play church. Many times we're like, we're Christians. You know, we follow Jesus, but our hearts are far from God. I said that I was not going to shame anybody today, but I want us to get down to issues in our lives, because there are times in my life where I'm far from God, where I don't pick up my Bible when I should, or as often as I should, when I don't pray as often as I should, when I worry more than I pray. God wants us to turn back to him. This is what he says. When you turn back to me, you will find me when you seek and search for me with all of your heart. I have to be honest. Sometimes I don't search for God with all of my heart. Sometimes it is a thing to do, to check off my list. And how many of us can say, that's me? No, you don't have to show hands or anything. How many of us can say, yep, that's me? I get so busy getting up early in the morning, getting breakfast and getting things going, you know, getting to work. And that by the time you get to remembering, it's already like 9-10 o'clock at night. And all God does is wait. He's patient. God waits. Not condemning us, just waiting. Waiting for us to search for him. Waiting for us to want him more than anything else in the world. And I mean that, more than anything else in the world. A lot of the times, we have set up idols in our hearts, right? There's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with the kids, you know, with prioritizing our families. There's nothing wrong with that. But when these things take over or become bigger than God, become more important than following, worshiping, and searching for God, then that thing may be an idol. We have to dethrone those things. We have to say, okay, God, it is a priority, but it's not more of a priority than you are in my life. I'm going to spend time in prayer. You know, we have our phones, right? We can schedule our time with God. We can say, okay, from this time to this time, this is my time with God. This is when I pray. This is when I'm going to read my Bible. And when that phone goes off, the alarm goes off for you to do that, you go off and you do that. We don't want to get legalistic. We're like, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, that means, you know, I fail. No, that's not true. But we just have to make it a habit. Number two, we call on the name of the Lord. We call on the name of the Lord. When you call on Jesus, do you know what you're doing? When you call on Jesus, you are calling on the power and authority of God. So when you're calling out to him, Jesus, help me. Jesus, you know, the disciples in the boat, I think of, you know, the woman that my husband mentioned with the issue of blood this morning. When you call on the name of Jesus, there's power in that. There is power. You know that demons have to flee. Illness has to flee. Hopelessness has to flee in the name of Jesus. All you have to do is call on him. Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, be my strength. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal my family. Jesus, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is such power. You're calling on the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're calling on the King of Kings and on the Lord of Lords. Then that's why when people use the name of Jesus in vain, like in movies and, you know, people around us, you know, they'll say, you know, they'll use the name of the Lord, you know, inappropriately. That's why. It's a holy name. It's a name with power. It's a name with great authority. It is the name of my Savior, the lover of my soul. So when you call on the name of Jesus, remember who you're calling out to. And remember that when you do that, he hears you. He hears. He listens. He's attentive to your cry. Number three, we look for him. We look for Jesus. When you come looking for me, you will find me. When you come looking for me, you will find me. You know, so many times, have you ever been looking for something? Maybe you've lost a ring or you've lost something even less than that. You know, you're like, I know I put this here, but I gotta look for it. I gotta find it. And we tear the house up, the car, right? We're looking for it. God wants us to look for him the way we would if we were looking for lost treasure. Except he isn't lost. He's very present. He's very accessible. Looking for Jesus. Looking for him. Search for him. And why do we search for Jesus? Why search for him? Why? Because he's the source of our everything. God is the source of everything. In dark seasons of our lives, when we search for Jesus, we're going to find him. And how do we do that? How do we search for Jesus? We set time aside. We're intentional about setting time aside to be with Jesus, to worship him, to put on your music, your worship music, and sing at the top of your lungs, to sit in quiet, to listen to the messages, to come to church, to watch online. Searching for Jesus is the best thing you could ever do, because that means you're intentional about setting time aside. You'll find that when you're busy and hurried, that it's really hard to hear the voice of God because our minds are consumed. We're just stressing. It's when we quiet. If you take a bottle of water and you put dirt in it or sand and you shake it, there's all the sediment, right? It's just kind of circling around. That's us. But when you put the water bottle down and let it sit for a little while, the water on top becomes clear and all the dirt settles on the bottom. It's when we become silent and still that everything becomes clear. Things become clear. It's time, church. It's time for those of us watching online and those of us who are here in this building. What are the benefits of finding Jesus? What are the benefits of turning to him? And what are the benefits on calling on him? Peace in time of chaos. Joy in time of trouble. Protection, because he covers us as if with an umbrella to protect us from the storm. Provision. The richest people, monetarily, are the millionaires, but the true rich, the truly rich, are those who have Jesus as their center. Those are the truly rich. Because if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Protection for our children, comfort, salvation, and this is my favorite, eternal life. Eternal life. Isn't that the hope of us as believers, that one day when we take our last breath, we'll be reunited with our Savior, we'll be reunited with our loved ones? That is something that I look forward to. I have Seth up there, my baby. I have grandparents up there. I have family up there, friends that I can't wait to be reunited with. But most importantly, I'm going to be reunited with Jesus, because he's the one I want to see when I get up there. His face is the one I want to see. So be reminded that your situation right now, your present situation, is not where you're going to end up. It's not your final destination. I want you to turn your whole heart to Jesus today. I want us to confess our sins to him and say, God, just let it go. It's yours. You know, when we confess, he forgives us. Get serious about God. Call on him and then search for him. Church, God promises to take care of his own. God promises to take care of us. He's going to turn it around in your situation. Let's stand up. Right where you're at, let that be your altar. I'm going to have you close your eyes. And if you feel comfortable, you can lift your hands like this, with your palms facing up, saying whatever it is that you need to say, God, I need you to turn this around in my situation. And talk to him. Say, God, I need you to turn this around. Your word said that you're going to turn it around. Pastor Ruth said that my present situation is not my final destination. So I give it to you, Lord. It's yours. My present situation is yours. My battles are yours. They're all yours. All yours, Lord. All yours. And I thank you, God, that you are present. And I thank you that you have a hope and a future for me. I thank you that you will not abandon me, that you will not kick me to the curb, that you will not abandon me, that you are always with me and for me. Father, I thank you.